Thank you, guys. You know, there's a colony of ants that exists, different colonies, a type of ant, and they'll just be very, very dormant. And you will not even think they're alive. You'll think they're just sitting there doing nothing. But all of a sudden, somebody can spray just a light bit of moisture on them, just a little bit. And all of a sudden, they get active. They get to moving. They get some energy. And that's what we need in our churches called revival. Revival means something like this. We're sort of down here, and we need to be up here. We're sort of here, and we need to be here. You know, we need revival. And there's a formula for it, and we have to meet it, but we have to desire it and hunger for it. And we do need it. I'm afraid most Baptists I know are too busy for revival. We have so many other things we are doing, that we're involved in doing, that we really don't seem to have time to even consider seriously for a long period of time to really meditate on it, that we need revival, what revival is, and that we really, really need it. Let's go back to Acts 4:31 and look at the early church, which started out with a revival spirit, and see what is said about that in verse 31, Acts 4:31. And I ask the question, what happened to the revivals of yesteryear? I've heard all my life, you should have been there for that revival. You should have experienced that revival. You should have seen that revival. And I don't know, I guess the closest I ever came to seeing something like that was out at a little country church where Brother Gene Arnold, Carolyn's pastor that she was saved under in Roanoke, Virginia, he used to do a lot of tent meetings, but then he'd preach in a lot of these little country churches. And we went out, drove, I don't know, 20, 25 miles way out in the boondocks, in the mountains of Virginia, out from Roanoke. And I remember the fact that there were some 30-something people got saved that week while he was preaching in that revival meeting. Just an old-fashioned revival meeting. That's all it was. Now, revival is more than evangelism. That's part of it. And I think that will happen when we have a revival. It's going to happen that evangelism will be sort of the side product, if we can call it that, of real biblical revival. But look at verse 31, Acts 4:31. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. Wouldn't you like for God to shake us a little bit? I don't mean an earthquake either. I'm talking about the spiritual shaking. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Now don't let that word scare you, ghost. The Holy Spirit, ghost, the breath of God, the Holy Ghost. And they spake the word of God with boldness. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart. They had unity of one soul. Neither said any of them that all of the things which he possessed was his own. Boy, that'd be a miracle in a church, wouldn't it? But they had all things common. And with great power, gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon them all. Boy, that sounds like the kind of church that I'd want to be a part of. How about you? The power of the Holy Spirit, souls being saved, great grace, unity, all of these things together. Why is it we don't have revival today? What happened to the revivals of yesteryear? I think one of the things is there's simply a lack of love for God. You say, well, preacher, I love God, but how much do you love God? A lack of love, like the Bible talks about, for God. I'm here to tell you tonight that a lot of Christians have left their first love and lost their first love. In the book of Revelation, we have a story like that. Look at Revelation chapter 2 if you want to turn there. Just follow along. John the Revelator, God has told him to write to these churches, and unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, "These things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, the preachers and the churches." He said, "I know thy works and thy labor." They were working people. They were laboring people. "I know thy patience." They were patient people. "And thou, how thou canst not bear them which are evil." They didn't like people that were evil, the evil deeds that they did. These are all commendable things. "And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles." And the Bible gives us those, gives us that criteria to try apostles. And they had tried them. And they said, "Some of these guys aren't really apostles. They're fakes. They're false. They're pseudo. And they are not. And hast found them liars." These are all commendable things. "And hast borne and has patience." In other words, they've been persecuted some. You've had patience. "And for my name's sake has labored and has not fainted." So far, a good church. Amen? These are all great things to be said about a church. But then we come to verse 4. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee. Well, what would you have against a church like that, God? Because thou hast left thy first love. The edge is no longer there. The joy is no longer there. The enthusiasm is no longer there. The thing that you had when you first got saved, that spirit of revival that was in your soul because you were so thankful for what God had done, that love that you had for God. He said to those people at that church, "You've got a lot of good things, but you've left your first love. You don't love God with the same intensity that you once loved God." Could that be said of you tonight? I know from time to time it could be said of me. And from time to time it probably could be said of us. Have we left our first love? This is one reason revival doesn't come, is because there's a lack of love. Just plain and simple, a lack of love for God, for Him, above all, God Almighty Himself. The second reason, I believe, is this: a decrease in the time that we spend on our knees in prayer. And I'm talking about the whole church. Now, I have an idea you expect me to be a praying pastor. Amen? And I do pray. I have an idea you want to have a praying staff. And knowing them like I know them, they better pray. And pray for me. I believe you want praying deacons and praying deacons' wives, staff workers' wives, and my wife. But the whole church ought to be a praying church. You should be praying like we're praying. We ought to set the pace, but you can't follow us around, but I assure you, we're spending some time in prayer. I know my own heart. I know my own time. Daniel, in Daniel chapter 6, in verse 10, you're familiar with the story. In Daniel 6, in verse 10, they told Daniel to quit praying. I love Daniel. He's one of my favorite characters. "Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in the chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime." No wonder Daniel was such a powerful servant of God. He was a praying man. And it's obvious that he wasn't going to quit praying. He knew the value of prayer. He knew what prayer could do. Do we understand tonight the value of prayer? Just how powerful prayer really is. We've got to be right with God when we're praying, but prayer is powerful. It moves Almighty God up there in heaven. It makes Him go into action. God honors prayer. And we do well to spend a lot of time in prayer. Turn your television off. Even put aside some of the Christian literature and give some time for prayer. and spend some time in prayer with God every day on purpose. Set aside some time. I know you're busy with grandkids. I know you're busy with job. I know you're busy with this. You're busy with housework. You're busy with everything. But my friend, you've got to find some time to pray. We just have to pray. And if we're not a praying church, we're not going to get the job done. We have to have a praying church. And I beg you to be a praying people, a praying church, because God answers prayer. Mark 11:24. Therefore I say unto you, this is Jesus saying, what things soever ye desire. What do you desire tonight? Well, our desires ought to be compatible to His will. Our desire ought to meet up and coincide with His will. And if we're right with Him, it should be. But therefore, He says, what things soever ye ask or ye desire, when you pray, only when you pray, believe. Faith enters into it, doesn't it? Believe. You've got to believe God answers prayer and believe He will answer your prayer. Believe that you receive them and ye shall have them. Pray for revival. If we want revival, pray for revival. And I'm not going to fuss at you tonight, but I'm going to tell you, it's sort of a sad thing when we have one prayer meeting in a month and a church of 1,000 people and 23 show up and few of those are kids. You see, that shows the emphasis and the lack of where it really should be. And I know you can pray at other places, but what is it asking to come for 1 hour once a month to God's house? If we were feeding you chicken, if we were having some kind of activity and some kind of games for the kids and all these other things, you'd show up. A lot of people would. But what about prayer meeting? And I know you're busy, and I'm not fussing at you. I'm just telling you. I'm just saying to you tonight, prayer is the difference. We need to be a praying people and understand what it is. Tonight, just before the service, Will Gillett walked up to me out in the hall. It was cute. And I said, hey, Will, how are you? And he said, hi, preacher. And I said, he said, God answered my prayer. I said, He did? He said, yeah, God answered my prayer. I said, well, tell me about it. What was your prayer? He said, I prayed that you could preach again, and you are. I said, well, thank you for your prayer. Amen. So here I am preaching. Amen. So argue with that, but I thought that was real cute. Even a little child like him believes in prayer and understands prayer, and he firmly believes, and I believe it too, that God answered his prayer. And there may be other people too, but his was in on it. And he said, God answered, I've been praying, God answered my prayer. I love that. Then there's also a thing I think that might keep us from revival, and that is a dearth of reading God's Word. Oh, how we need to read the Word of God. I know this is elementary and very basic, but we need to get back to the basics, to get back to revival. We need to read the Word of God. Read the Word of God. Read the Word of God. Set out some time to read the Word of God. Not only read it, but listen to me. Meditate on the Word of God. There's a difference in just reading it. Saying, oh, I read it. Check, check, check. I'm going to read through the Bible this year. Check, check, check. Check, check, check. Check, check, check. And that's all. That's good. That's better than not doing it. But it's good to meditate on the Word of God. God, what are you telling me? God, what are you showing me? Lord, what are you speaking to me about? What does this say to me? Meditate. Chew on it. That's what the Word really comes from, of the cows that have those other stomachs and they regurgitate it and chew it again and chew it again. They meditate on what they've eaten. And we need to meditate on the Word of God. Think about it during the day. Think about it where you are. You've got to spend some time in it. Then as you spend time in it, meditate on the Word of God. And I believe a constant meditation on this book, reading it and meditating on it, will bring us to a place of heartfelt revival. We'll have a thirst and a hunger for revival. You cannot stay in the Word of God, I don't think, consistently without having a thirst for real old-fashioned revival. Another thing that can hurt revival is division in the church. Division in the church can really hurt revival. God wants us to be unified. God wants us to be together. Ephesians, if you'll look there, again in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 15. Ephesians 4:15. And see what the Lord says about unity and the importance of it and being together. Ephesians 4 and verse 13. He says in verse 11, he gives all the apostles, the prophets, that was the early church, evangelists, pastors, teachers, that's now, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity, and notice this, of the faith. And I dealt with that in my Sunday school class this morning. And of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, a mature man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of God. He wants us to come to the unity of the faith, the unity in the faith. That means we're to pull together. You see, it shouldn't just be me, the pastor, that wants revival. It should be everybody in the church that wants revival. There should be a unified spirit of everybody that's in this room here tonight that would say, yes, preacher, I'm with you. I want revival. We want revival. We're unified in this. In many other areas, doctrinally and all of that, we have to do it. And by the way, the unity is always in the truth and always in the faith. We don't want unity just to have unity. You can have unity and not believe a thing the Bible says. You can have unity and be so far off course about the true doctrines of the Word of God. We're not just getting together to be getting together to say, hey, we're all together, we're unified. No, the unity is in the truth. You say, but we're to love everybody. But love always tells the truth. And God's Word is the truth. And so he says we ought to have unity, and we need unity in the truth of the Word of God. Look at Philippians 1:27. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 27, if you can find it there. And he says in this verse, in verse 27, just reminding us of the same principle. He says, only let your conversation, your lifestyle, be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand in one spirit with one mind, striving together. And we do a lot of striving sometimes, but it's not together. We don't need to be striving apart. We need to be striving together. Striving together for the faith of the gospel. Working together, laboring together, serving together, praying together, reading our Bibles together, doing what we can to see that revival comes, pulling together. And until we have that kind of spirit, until the whole church sort of wants revival, the whole church is not going to have revival. It has to start somewhere. It has to start with someone. But we need to desire to get back up here when we're down here. We need that moisture like the ants needed to come to life, to have more life, to do more, to be more excited, to be serving God, to be a holier people for the glory of God. So we need to get rid of the division in the church. We have to be very careful with our tongues. We have to be very careful what we say. Very careful what we listen to. You know, sometimes listening to the gossip is just as bad as the gossiper gossiping. We need to be careful about that kind of thing in our church. No wonder James spent so much time talking about the tongue and how powerful it was and how it's like a rudder on a huge ship. Compared to the ship, it's nothing. But it can turn the whole ship. And he went on to talk about that many times it is something that's like coming right out of hell, and it can cause a lot of fire and a lot of problems. We need to be careful about our tongue, because your tongue can disunify the local church very quickly. So be careful about your gossip. Do it the way God says. If you got something about somebody, go to them personally. Deal with them. Don't tell everybody else. You know, that's sort of like our barber. My barber had a sign up one time, and he was talking about, if you like what we do, tell others. If you don't, tell us. And that's the best way to do it. But God gives us the principle that we're to go to people and talk to them and not let it build and not let it fester and cause a division in the church, which pulls us back from real revival. We need real revival, pulling together. And then I think another thing is a de-emphasizing of soul winning. A de-emphasizing of soul winning. I'm afraid that our independent Baptist churches are getting away from that more and more. And I'm for constant contact and all kinds of contact. That's evangelism. That's good. Soul winning. We need to be involved in witnessing and telling people about the Lord. He that goeth forth and weepeth brokenhearted, bearing precious seed, that's the gospel, will doubtless come again rejoicing, bringing our sheaves with us. We need to be weeping and we need to be working. And then we're going to see the results as a result of that. We need to tell people about Christ, bring people to church. I gave the illustration of the man this morning at the car wash. The reason that man got saved is one person took time to talk to him, befriended him, and got him to know Jesus Christ as his Savior. And turned a guy who had been a drug addict ever since he was about 11 years of age, and a drug pusher and all of that, turned him into a godly man who is not ashamed to speak up for the glory of God. And he speaks up very vividly for the glory of God, has material around in his business and all of that. We need to be people that are soul winners. And if we don't do that, we're not going to have revival. These are just a few of the things. There are others. But here the Bible tells us, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray. Got to humble ourselves, take this message rightly, and pray and turn. Turn from what? Our, God calls it, wicked ways. Wicked ways. And God says if we'll turn from those and we'll really do these things, I believe we can have, I think, what we want called revival. And if you don't want it and you're that backslidden, God help you. If it doesn't matter to you, God help you. Maybe He needs to do a special work on your heart. But I believe most of us would like to see an old-time, old-fashioned movement of God. We're a little bit scared of it. We're a little bit wondering, well, what does that mean? What all is involved in that? I'll tell you, I don't know what all is involved in it, but I can promise you this, it's good. Whatever it is, it will be good. And it will glorify God, and more souls will come into the kingdom if we are revived. Let's stand, please. A lack of love? Do you need to return to your first love tonight? Are you spending time on your knees, time meditating on the Word of God, trying to keep from having division in the church, and doing your best to bring people to Christ? Father, we want revival. We thirst and hunger for it. I do. I believe there are many like-minded people here tonight. God, help us to meet the criteria for it, and then, God, please do something in our hearts. Restore the joy of thy salvation and also that thrill of the first love, that genuine love that arrested us when we got saved and brought us to the feet of Jesus Christ. Sometimes we get away from that. God, stir our hearts tonight in Jesus' name and help that person who is unsaved that might be here. Oh God, help that boy, that girl, that man, that woman come to Jesus tonight. In His name we pray. Amen.